If you have your Bibles tonight, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 10, or Matthew chapter 9, we'll be right at the end of Matthew chapter 9. You know, in Sunday school, the few weeks we've been here lately, we've just finished up a series on prayer, and I've enjoyed it every time we've been back. It's been a blessing coming back and seeing familiar faces and seeing new faces as well. Just the excitement and the growth in church here has been an encouragement every time we've been back, and enjoyed the Sunday school series on prayer while we've been back, and just finished it up. And you know, a pastor had mentioned a week or so ago about, you know, in the main services, we don't necessarily do prayer requests. In a larger congregation setting, it can be maybe a little distracting or maybe not the wisest, best use of time. We have other means of getting prayer requests through to to our church family. But you know, in Sunday schools, a lot of times it's a smaller group, and we can spend some time just on personal prayer requests, maybe even stuff that won't necessarily share as publicly. But if you've ever been in a Sunday school class, especially if you have younger kids, every now and the younger age Sunday schools, it can be a little dangerous sometimes to ask them for their prayer requests. If you've had a younger age group and you're working with, and you ask them for the prayer request, you might end up praying for Fido or something. But you think about it, and why would a kid ask for prayer for a dog? You know, it seems so minute, so minimal in our eyes, and maybe even a waste of time to some extent. And but a kid would ask prayer for a dog because that's what's on his mind. Whether his dog ran away that morning or sick, the dog is something close to them. It means it's important to them. It's something that's on their heart. We ask prayer for things that we're concerned about, the things that are on our heart, things that are on our minds that we're concerned about, and we want people to join us in prayer for those situations, for what whatever's going on. Well, in our passage tonight, Jesus gives a prayer request. You imagine in a Sunday school setting, if you're asking for prayer requests, and if Jesus happens to be in your Sunday school class, if he gives a prayer request, I think everyone's going to pay attention. They're going to be a little concerned about what Jesus wants us to pray for. And so if you'll stand, we'll go ahead and read. We're just going to read verses 34 down through verse 38, and we're going to look at Jesus' prayer request. We're actually starting in verse 35, sorry. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's pray, and then we'll get into this passage tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just work through this next few minutes, Lord. Work through me to relay the message that you have for us, Lord. I pray that hearts would be open. I pray that you've been honored and glorified through the services thus far, and that, Lord, no decision would be left unmade tonight. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So we have here Jesus' prayer request, and it kind of builds up into it, gives you a basic rundown of what he was doing. He was just fulfilling his prophecy, fulfilling his father's wishes. He's traveling around performing miracles, and obviously those miracles draw crowds. People are interested in, you know, what's going on? Who is this Jesus? And we come to verse 36, and it says, when he saw the multitudes, and I like to picture the Bible, and as I'm reading it, and I picture here Jesus, he's probably ascending a small hillside or something and getting ready to preach or teach, and he turns around and he sees the multitudes that are following him. And his eyes rest on his disciples as he's looking on this crowd, those that are closer to him, those that are sincerely desiring to be close to him and to hear every word that he says. And he makes a statement. He says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." You know, this month we've spent some time looking at the multitudes around the world. We had the Stevens family to Honduras, and seeing what God has done already through their ministry was really encouraging to me. I was blessed to be here that night and seeing what God's doing, and in preparation, trying to just review the countries we touched this month, I was looking at Honduras and found out Honduras has one of the highest homicide rates in the world. The country of Honduras, a very dangerous place, but you didn't see that in their report. You saw churches being established, lives being changed through God working through the Stevens family. And you saw the Mislin family. We weren't here that night, but Brother Mislin is a friend of mine. We went to college together for a little bit. He was a great spiritual help and an encourager to me while we were there at college together, and has a heart for missions. And I got to know him, know a little bit of him going to the Metro Manila in the Philippines, and it's the fifth most populous urban area in the world. It's the most densely populated area in the Philippines, and yet, if I remember correctly, there's not one independent Baptist church in this Metro Manila. And a great need there, a great need there in the Philippines, and then the Lang family to Nigeria. He mentioned that Nigeria is the seventh most populated country in the world, and yet there's more churches here in Indiana, and I dare say maybe even in Indianapolis, than there are in the entire country of Nigeria. And a great need that we've seen this month as we've looked at different missionaries, looked at different mission fields, the mission field of Peru. We're going to work with the deaf, Lord willing, and a great deaf community there in Peru that has been neglected for many years. Even today, the government of Peru doesn't really recognize them as healthy citizens that can contribute. They think they just lump them in with you have the deaf, you have blind, you have mentally handicapped, and they just want to send them into little institutions and forget about them. And so the missionaries are going and trying to teach them that they have a language they can use, they can communicate, they can work, they can have an impact on society. And it's really been the missionaries that have had an impact in reaching the deaf there in Peru. We've seen the fields this month. Now what? Now what? You know, when we're faced with the task of reaching this world, we're prone to forget about prayer in our efforts. We see this massive task of reaching the world, and we look for some strategy. We look for some 1-2-3-step process to get to the gospel around the world. And not that anything like that would be wrong, but many times we do that in the neglect of prayer. And Jesus here in this passage is looking on the multitudes that are following him and the few laborers, and he simply says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest," to pray. He doesn't give them a strategy or a step-by-step process. He simply asks his disciples to pray. Jesus says, "I need you to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Not only do we need laborers around the world, we need laborers here in America. The group that went to Boston, we were in Boston earlier this year, and I know the need you saw. It is mind-boggling. One of the first independent Baptist churches in the continental United States started in Rhode Island, just a few hours' drive from Boston. You have the history of the pilgrims, the religious history that is rich in that area, and yet you meet people that know nothing of the Bible. There's a great need in America, and maybe those that haven't seen that might wonder, What need? We've got churches all over the place and across America, but I'm afraid with America, we have multitudes that are at least claiming to follow Christ. We have multitudes here in America that claim to be Christians, but the laborers are few. Those that are laboring, those that are working, America has a multitude of churches, but few laborers willing to go out and to teach and to disciple and to spread the gospel. I love Jesus' response to this overwhelming need for laborers. I love that it's to pray. If Jesus had given some kind of a task or strategy or step-by-step process, you know, I could easily say, that's not me. I am not gifted. Clearly that was not intended for me. But you know what? Any and every one of us can pray. I love, as Pastor mentioned this morning, it's as if Jesus, when we're saved, we have a personal telephone line direct to God. We can pray. There's nothing that can hinder us from praying. Nobody, no one other than ourselves keep us from praying. It's our choice, and any of us can do it. So as we've been looking on the fields, I know it can sometimes be overwhelming, but I want to ask you, have you prayed? Have you been praying about it this month? It's our Faith Promise Missions Month. Have you been praying about what God would have you to give? Have you been praying that God would send laborers? Some of you might be thinking after last week with the challenge and the explanation of faith promise and how it's biblical, faith promise giving to missions and how biblical it is. Maybe some of you are thinking, thank you, Brother Rob. I've been looking, thinking all week for some out. Now I can just commit to pray. I will pray fervently for the lost and pray that God will send laborers. And I've done better. I've improved. I don't necessarily have to give. But that's not necessarily the end point of this passage. There's a couple interesting things I want to look at about Jesus' prayer request. It says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, one confusing thing that kind of jumps out at me in this verse, it says, is that the Lord of the harvest is the last person that really needs to be told that he needs laborers in his harvest field. Now, we were in Missouri, small town in Missouri, Trenton, Missouri, and one of the members of his church there owns a large farm, not just a little bit. He has the massive machines. He invited all the missionaries out to dinner Saturday, and he was showing us the machines. And I'm telling you, we were driving. I asked him about how far away we had been close to his property or driving by his property. We probably were driving by his property about 20 minutes before we get to his house. And he just had a massive amount. He's a large farmer, and he loves hunting. He loves to hunt, and he sets up deer stands and blinds and everything, and he even has people hunt his property. And he says most of the time they'll ask him, well, why don't you hunt your own property? You love to hunt so much. Why do you always go off to other places? And he said, well, I tried to hunt my property. And he said, I get up early in the morning. I go out and get on my deer stand, and he says, I start looking out, and I see some stumps that could be moved, and if I move these stumps the next season, I can plan even more. And oh, there's a fence. I need to get that fence fixed up and mended. And he says, the next thing I know, I'm putting my gun away. I'm getting back to work. The farmer is the last person that needs to be told, you need to get your harvest in. I don't think God's sitting up there going, I don't know what we need. Maybe, no, God knows he needs laborers. So why does Jesus, God in the flesh, want us to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers? Well, it kind of goes back. It goes back on what we were saying at the beginning. We pray for what's on our heart. You ask for prayer requests. The request is usually whatever's on our heart, what's on our mind. If you're praying for the mission field, if you're praying for the multitudes, if you're praying that the Lord would send laborers out, your heart will be in the same place God's heart is. And when your heart's in the same place his is, when he starts knocking on your heart and saying, well, I need you to go, you'll be willing. I mean, you've been praying, he's going to send someone. He starts asking for you. you'll be willing. When he starts knocking on your heart and says, well, I need you to give a little bit more this year if you want me to send some missionaries. You say, here you, whatever you want, Lord. Whatever you need, I'll give. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go, because I'm praying. My heart's desire is that laborers would be sent around the world to spread the gospel of Christ. It all starts in prayer. You say, well, where do you find that? Well, in verse 38, Jesus says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. 5 verses later, into chapter 10, we're introduced at first to the 12 apostles that Jesus first selects. And in verse 5, it says, these 12 Jesus sent. These would have been 12 men that were there with his disciples when Jesus said, I need you to pray. I need you to pray that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers. And then 5 verses later, he's sending 12 of them. He knew their heart needed to be in the right place. He knew their heart needed to be focused on the harvest so that they would be willing to go when he sent. So have you been praying for the harvest? We have this next month, we're going to start filling out our commitment cards. Many of you may have already been praying about it. If you haven't been praying about it, and maybe it's been a bit more of a just check the budget, see what you can do, think about what will make you feel better, why don't you commit to praying for it a little bit? See what God wants you to do. Pray for the harvest. Look on the harvest. We have missionary letters sent with requests, with praises. They're sharing what God's doing in their country, and they're also sharing what the needs are in their country so that we can pray for them. We can pray over the harvest fields. Honestly, the information I found on the countries the missionaries have gone to this month really wasn't that hard to find. With Google nowadays, you just look up that country and you have a plethora of information. You know better how to pray for that country. Pray that laborers would be sent. What's more, when God knocks on your heart and says, well, why don't you invite that neighbor to come to church? Why don't you ask that coworker where he thinks he'll go if he were to die today? Why don't you introduce them to the gospel? God can send you around the world. Yes, he can also send you across the street. But you're going to be more willing to if your heart's in the right place. And your heart's going to be in the right place if you're praying that the Lord would send laborers, if you're praying for the harvest field. If you're praying for the Lord to send laborers, when he calls your children, grandchildren, I know that's a very real subject for some in here. But if you've been praying, Lord, will you send? It could be your kids he's sending. He could send them to Nigeria. He could send them to Boston. But is your heart in the right spot, in the right place? If it's not, start praying. Start with praying, just looking on the field and praying, Lord, there's laborers that are needed. Will you send laborers? And he'll guide you in what you need to do. You know, I really believe in verse 38, there were more than just the 12 apostles there that he was talking to. And he didn't send immediately all 12, every single one of them. He selected 12. If every one of us were to next week go to another country, there wouldn't be a Lighthouse Baptist Church here to send me. So God's not going to send every single one of you around the world, but he's going to use you. And the only way you're going to know how he wants to use you is if you're praying. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. You know, it's a fairly simple message, but again, it's simple because any of us can do it. Simple so that none of us have any excuse. Have you been praying for the harvest? I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor for the invitation. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening and for your word and the challenge that it is, Lord. I pray that our hearts would be in tune with you, Lord, and that we would be praying fervently. We would look on the fields and we would pray that you would send forth laborers. Lord, that we would be willing to do whatever you call us to do, Lord. Not what makes us feel better, not what we think we can do, but what you call us to do. I pray that you would be honored and glorified through every decision made tonight. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.